Welcome to the City Point Church podcast. Thanks for joining us. Every day is an opportunity to take hold of. So we hope this message inspires you and builds your faith, that it helps you have more of a God perspective for your day. Enjoy.
Service, there was an air of excitement, and the best way to describe it, Rachel articulated it in our early service, was fun. Our early service this morning was fun. It's okay to have fun in the house of God. Sometimes we come with an air of expectation for something somber to happen in our spirits. I know that the Word of God is like a sword, but sometimes it's fun to wield it, okay? Sometimes it cuts deep to sharpen and shape us, but sometimes it's a lot of fun to pick it up and play with it. Come on. Can I speak to the inner child of you today and say it's fun to play with the sword sometimes? Yeah? Anybody with me this morning? We needed an extra sleep. And well, I'm going to confess at the beginning of my word this morning that as of about 10:30 yesterday morning, I had a different word to bring and changed my husband's plans because we have been working on a word together. And so today I was supposed to deliver part A of a word that next week he would deliver part B. And so he's been prepping and I've been prepping and I had it all, and then different circumstances happened. And of course, that's just the Holy Spirit that makes circumstances happen sometimes, because he needs us to shift, because we make plans, but sometimes he's got a plan and he needs to move us sometimes, maybe even with a little bit of pain, so that we move our plans or let go of control. And that's exactly what happened yesterday with the crashing of my laptop. How fun. But the truth is next week, Graham can't deliver what he's already prepared because I've changed my message. Then it'll be out of order. But anyway, yesterday when plans changed, the Holy Spirit just laid something on my heart. And what was happening in the morning as we were sorting out the laptop, as messages started to flood through to Gray and I, and I know some of our other leaders like Chris and Rach, what's happening with church? What's happening with church? Does this change what's happening with church? People started to ask the question, because we had an announcement yesterday that legislation has changed. And so for some people, whole plans have changed within 24 hours. And for others, massive milestones that are about to be celebrated have been put on pause. We're not sure. Plans have changed. Things are out of our control. And what it feels like at the moment a little bit is like we got the go and it was a false start. You know, like when you've jumped the gun before the actual gun went off in a race. I don't know if you ever did that in a swimming carnival. It's not inconvenient when you're on the blocks in a sprint, but when you jump the gun in a swimming carnival, it's awkward for everybody else. And now you're wet and you have to start wet. That's what it kind of feels like we're living like at the moment. Is it go? Is it not? Is it go? Is it not? We're unsure. But what I know is in this season, God has a purpose to this question mark. What will tomorrow bring? Not necessarily a worry, but a we have a no idea moment. The truth is next Saturday, an announcement could happen that changes everything again. It's a season of waiting. And for many of us, we've spoken about a season of waiting as past tense because we felt like the green light had happened and now it's changed again. And the truth is, it is easy for us in our minds, in our natural minds, to look at what we miss out on when there is a waiting moment or a pause moment, the orange light or the red light instead of the green light. I don't know if you went there yesterday, but because I love to put on events, it's my favorite thing to do. And I had an event to put on, which was really exciting because we had a semi-green light and I didn't have one anymore. I started to worry about family Christmas gatherings. Was anybody worrying about silly things like family Christmas gatherings? Don't they know I have a new home and all these Christmas decorations have been packed up for 8 years and I was going to unleash them on my family like a Christmas assault, and now I may not? These are things I worry about, keep me up at night. But the truth is Some things are out of our control, but God has a plan in the waiting. And that's exactly what I want to share this morning as a reminder to our spirits that God is doing something while we wait. While we wait. And so that is the title of my message this morning, While We Wait. Gray and I have just come out of a really, really long season of waiting for a promise, waiting for a miracle. And that's the miracle of our home. For 9 years, we've actually been in this season of waiting. And if I'm going to be really honest, to encourage those who have had the same feelings or the same thought patterns in their seasons of waiting, whether you're waiting on salvation of loved ones, healing in your body, promises of things like a home or spouse or the things that you're waiting on, I've had moments in my seasons of waiting where I have given up on the promise, and I've even justified it with the word of God. I'm going to be really honest. So there have been many, many seasons, I've even quoted it to Gray throughout our season of waiting, where I would quote Paul, I am content in all seasons of my life, to justify my giving up of the promise of what God had for me. And God has something that he wants to do around this season of waiting in each and every one of us, but it requires a few things from us. So I want to talk to us about this morning. The more I read the Bible, the more I realize we are in good company when we're in the wait season. God's word is filled with countless stories of people in waiting. Abraham waited on God to make him the father of the nations. His wife Sarah waited on God to bless her with a child. Noah waited on God to stop the rain. David waited on God to give him a throne. Ruth waited on God for her Boaz. The list goes on and on and on. Waiting is quite simply part of life and a part of God's plan. But if I'm honest, it's not my favorite part of life. I'm far too impatient, often wondering if God is going to keep his promises. Could you say the same of yourself this morning? It's during these times of waiting where I have to remind myself of what is true. I know God is faithful. Deuteronomy 7 verse 9 says, "Know therefore that the Lord your God is God. He is a faithful God, keeping his covenant of love to 1,000 generations of those who love him and keep his commandments." Wow. 1,000 generations. I know God keeps his promises. Joshua 21:45 says, "Not a single one of all the good promises of the Lord had given to the family of Israel were left unfulfilled. Everything he had spoken came to pass." Everything he had spoken. And I know that God gives purpose to our waiting. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 58 says, "Therefore, my dear brothers and sisters, stand firm. Let nothing move you. Always give yourselves fully to the work of the Lord, because you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain." There is much meaning found in the pain of our waiting seasons. Often we never know what the purpose is until the promise is actually fulfilled or outworked in our lives. There are times when we may never even discover what that ultimate purpose is in our wait. However, I do know that God does not waste the wait. While we're waiting, he is molding us, he is shaping us, and he is transforming us. It may seem counterintuitive, but waiting requires action, which is what I want to talk about today. Waiting is not pause, it requires action. The season of wait in our life actually requires us to do something. What is that this morning? What are we to do with it? He wants us to seek him in the waiting. Lamentations 3:25 reminds us, "The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him." And so I want to talk to you this morning about what it looks like when we wait, the action we're to take. There are three actions I want to bring out this morning that we are to do in this wait season. So what does active waiting look like? I think it can take a variety of forms, but our most natural response to waiting should always be to worship. Our response to waiting should always be worship. This might look like singing, arms outstretched. It might look like praying, knees to the earth. It might look like serving, palms up, open hands. All of this is worship. As a worship leader for so many years, it was important for me to remember that worship was not limited to and only a 20-minute segment on a Sunday morning in our services. Worship doesn't always involve a song. It's every breath that we take. It can be an act of worship. Romans 12:1 says, "And so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him." When we worship, we take our eyes off our problems, off our unfulfilled promises, and set our eyes and our hearts on God. Worship puts God's power and sovereignty over our lives into proper perspective. When we worship, we experience his greatness, his authority, and his might in our lives. Moreover, we also experience, like we did here this morning, his sweet presence. Psalm 104 says, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name." It's in his presence that we find his comfort and we realize we're not alone in the midst of our waiting seasons. It's there we also discover gratitude. In the middle of our waiting season, it can be hard to give thanks when we're focused on what's yet to come. Yet worship shifts our focus, giving us eyes to see God's goodness and his heart for us, which makes us grateful for all he's done and what he's yet to do in our life. There's so much about waiting that feels out of our control, but worship is within our means. It's within our control to activate in our lives. Want to wait well? Start by worshiping God with your words, with your thought, with your action. And while worshiping should always be the natural response to waiting, there's a second action we've got to do. It's actually such an important action because it means that we do not remain disconnected. And so the second action that we must do in our waiting season is we must pray while we wait. We must pray while we wait. Prayer is another way we can actively wait. Although prayer is already an integral part of my life as a believer, my prayers tend to look different when I'm in a season of waiting. Can anybody else admit the same? It's different, particularly when the wait is overwhelming or what you're waiting for is overwhelming. It's taken me a lot of years and a lot of waiting seasons to realize that God actually wants the pain of my wait. In fact, he takes our pain and harvests it into something beautiful, simply because that's who he is. And it's only what he can do with it. He makes beauty from ashes. He creates purpose from pain. So in this current season of waiting, would we work hard to pray through prayer to give him our pain? Could we be more honest in our prayers? I know in seasons of this, of waiting, often we get so focused on what it is we're waiting for that we become like we have single vision for what it is. But I would wonder if in this season of a beautiful season where we've become more isolated, is it not permission for us to actually become more vulnerable with the Holy Spirit and speak more honestly with him in our secret places? Would we get more honest? He can handle our honesty. He can handle your anger. He can handle your frustration. He can handle your doubts and your anxiety. He can handle your fears. There's nothing that we can tell him that surprises him. Nothing at all. So we might as well give him our uncensored prayers, our vulnerable prayers. He knows every thought before we speak it. The Bible says he hears our prayers and he answers our prayers. In 1 John 5, verse 14, it says, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked for of him. I don't just take the scripture to mean that God always answers us our prayers exactly the way we want him to. Has anybody seen the movie Bruce Almighty? Anybody? A couple? If he answered our prayers according to what we wanted and when he wanted, that is what our world would look like. Everybody would have won the lotto and about 0.2 of a cent each. That's the truth. And for some of you, you would still be in isolation because you would have asked God to keep this going for another couple of months because it suited you just fine. For others of you, you would have been out within 24 hours and unleashing yourself on the world. The world would look like chaos. But God knows when and how our prayers are to be answered. He knows us, he sees us, he hears our prayers, and that's what keeps us motivated to keep at it. So while we are waiting, we must continue to seek. We will continue to knock, and we will continue to trust and pray expectant for what he's going to do in our future. Micah 7:7 is an incredible scripture for each of us to live by in our waiting seasons. It says this, "As for me, I look to the Lord for help, and I wait confidently for God to save me, and my God will certainly hear me." What an incredible passage in a season of waiting, which is just incredible, which brings me to the final point of the actions that we are to take up in our seasons of waiting. Do you know, time is a construct we obviously struggle to understand. Many people and philosophers have sought the science of it out, but we can't quite put our finger on it because God is outside of the time as we know it. Some days it seems like we never have enough time. When we look at our long to-do lists, we hope for more time. When we realize our children are growing up faster than what we can comprehend, we mourn the time past and wish at time that time would stand still. But when we're waiting for God to move, it's different. Well, time can't move fast enough. Anybody else feel like that? I feel like that when, as a mum, I wish time would stop and pause with my children so I could save every moment, but God, could you answer me now? Or yesterday would have been better, right? We have a different concept of it. I kind of wonder, and I remind myself sometimes that he has a heart like mine because he created mine, that maybe he's like, pause, I'm just savoring this moment. Like a parent. Because that's what God, he looks on us as beautiful sons and daughters. And he's going, let me just savor this moment. We're like, come on, God. Yesterday would have been awesome for the fulfillment of that. I'm ready for the next. But when we're waiting on God to move, it can't move fast enough. The truth of the matter is miracles take time. And sometimes the best thing we can do while we're waiting on our miracle is to be a part of somebody else's miracle, which brings me to the third action in a season of wait that we need to each take on, and that is service. We're to serve one another. You see, worship and prayer should lead us to this third action, naturally, organically lead us to serve one another. Hosea 12:6 says this. It actually ties serving with waiting so beautifully. It says, what are you waiting for? Return to your God, commit yourself in love and in justice to one another. Wait for your God and don't give up on him ever. I love this at the end of it, ever. Don't give up. Serving, loving, fighting for justice for one another. Don't give up on it ever while you're waiting for him to move in it. Don't give up serving one another. Best part about this is God has uniquely wired each and every one of us to serve in an area that he can most naturally use us because he's given you gifts and talents, uniquely given to you. So our passions and our desires are not in a wait season. They can be being used while we're waiting to serve one another through service. You don't have to start a non-for-profit or lead a whole movement to serve. You just have to look at what God is doing for area, what God is doing in areas around your life right now, like his house. Start by talking to somebody at the Yes Bar today. Rach unpacked this just before about the areas that you could use your gifts and talents paired with your willingness. This might look like serving our community in our op shop, or it might look like investing in the next generation in our kids program next door. It might be as simple as walking next door this week and speaking to your neighbor or introducing yourself to your neighbor if you do not know them. Or it might be as faith stretching as standing at this front door to welcome the lost home. It could be a combination of all of these, but what are the gifts and talents God's put on your life that you can use to serve others in your wait season? Pray and ask the Lord to open your eyes to see the areas where you can serve. Then watch as he leads you surprisingly to places where you can use your gifts and talents, because he will use your gifts and talents to open doors. Hear God's heart for justice and compassion, for he desires to actually partner with us for his great redemptive work as we wait in our season. As we serve while we wait, we quickly find that our focus shifts off ourselves and actually about the focus of us being in our wait season, and it moves to others, which is the heart of God. Others. Do you know that there is one more action? I told you there was only three, but there's one more action in waiting, in our seasons of waiting, but this one is not done by us. We worship, we pray, we serve. But when we do these things in our waiting season, there is a response or a reaction from God. Action actually has a reaction. It's beautiful. And so that there is an action or a doing that happens in the wait season, except this one is done by God. And it's the beauty of the wait season, because waiting is never wasted in God. And so my final point today is what happens in a wait season is an action of God. It is a transformation while we wait. God does a lot of the work we don't see while we wait. It's in this unseen work where we are transformed, healed, and ultimately made new. God cares about our character so much, and it's often in the midst of our waiting where he does his best character building work. Philippians 2:13 says, "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him." God assures us, though we wait, he is working. Though we wait, he is working. His promise is coming. I love this verse in Habakkuk 2:3 that says, "If it seems slow in coming, wait patiently, for it will surely take time, but it will not be delayed." What a beautiful description of God's time. Outside of our time, have you ever considered that maybe the purpose behind the wait, behind the pain of the wait, is actually your transformation? It's a hard truth to swallow. Sometimes I'd rather trade slow and transformational for easy and immediate. Anybody else with me? But when I ask for things too quickly, it's likely God shakes his head and he thinks, just wait, just wait. My plans are so much better than your plans. Transformation is a process, and waiting is a prerequisite. On the other side of transformation lies strength, perspective, and newfound confidence. When we allow God to transform us through the wait, we are forced to trust him in new ways. We are forced to give him the reins, hand over control, and give him the space to do what he needs to do in us. Sometimes the purpose for the wait is the transformation that takes place during the wait. That's the whole reason why we find ourselves in new seasons of wait. Once his promise is fulfilled in his way, not ours, we're able to look back and see that we were better for it. For we often come out of a wait looking more like Jesus and less like us. That's the purpose of wait. And so while we find ourselves in this season of the orange light, wait, not yet. Could we remind our spirits this morning that maybe, just maybe, God is doing something in it, because he uses the wait for his purposes every time. As we wait for God to move, my prayer is that we wouldn't lose sight of the fact that God is already at work on our behalf. He's working in ways we can't see and places that we cannot fathom. My hope is that the promise maker, but more than that, these days I'm choosing to put my hope in the promise keeper. I know he is faithful. He is faithful when he brings the miracle, but he is just and faithful in the waiting in our lives. This I know to be true. Waiting is never wasted in God. It is never wasted. It requires the action of worship, prayer, and service, but the promise in it is transformation in our lives. And as we were, I've got a couple of minutes left, as we were in worship this morning, I felt that this season of wait has not been identified by people this morning until sitting in this message, where they've gone, maybe that's what I'm sitting in, is a season of wait. But you've labeled it a season of finished, or a season of over, or a season of done. Do you know God is not done? He's not done with you. He's not in a season of over with you. It's just a season of wait. My ways are better than your ways. And would you allow me to do in your life what I want to do in your life? And do you know, I believe that this promise is not because it's simply limited to us today. I was thinking about this last week when we were in our services, when God gave me the scripture that he would pour out his spirit upon all men, his sons and his daughters, the men and the women. No matter, the scripture unpacks for all demographics when it says not just your masters but your bondservants. He doesn't limit any race, any socioeconomic status, any gender. He says upon all men. And the reason is because what he wants to do in this season of wait in transforming our lives is not limited to our generation. And I felt this in worship this morning. But there are some people here that need to know that what God is doing in you right now, in your season of wait, in this just hold, I'm not done yet, there's more yet to come, goes far beyond this generation for your family. Bob and Marg, I felt it in worship today for your family. While you wait for your miracle, while you wait, you're not just waiting for your generation, but he sees your children and your children's children and your children's children's children. And the promise is kept not just for you, but for all of those generations, because you've been faithful in the wait. Because you've been faithful in the wait. I felt the same for Brody and Rachel. So glad you're here. I didn't even know you were here. When what you're setting up and what you're allowing him to do in your lives is not just for your children, but you're making a way to allow him in this time as he's transforming and renewing in your lives right now. The promise that he's given you is not limited to you, but your children and your children's children, and your children's children's children. Come on. I'm wondering if you would say that for yourself this morning. God, I allow you to do in this wait season what's required to be done in me, Sonia, for your children, and your children's children, and your children's children's children. Would you own that this morning? Go, that's for me. It is not limited to just my own life, but for generations in my family. Would we each allow God to do what is required in us in this wait to transform generations in our family line? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes right now. Father, this morning we hear your word and we let it penetrate our spirits. God, you have such plans and purpose for each and every one of us. Each one crafted and designed by you uniquely, because there's a call that you've called each and every one of us to that only we could outwork for your kingdom. But God, I pray that we would use this wait time, get active in this wait time, worship you, seek you in our prayers, serve one another. And in it, in response, God, would you transform us for the sake of this generation, for the sake of the next generation and 1,000 generations. Would we make a stand that you're allowed to do what is needed to be done in our lives today as stewards for generations that will come after us? God, we are willing. If you're willing right now, would you just say to the Holy Spirit, I'm willing. I'm willing. Would you do what you want to do in my life, God, in this wait? I trust you with it. We trust you with it, God. Do as you want in our lives for your glory, for your glory. In the name of Jesus, amen.
What an amazing message. Yeah, but let's put our hands together. Fantastic word. I just want to say this. While we wait, when I say that, I have a sense of anticipation. I don't know about you. I don't feel like it's wait. It's while we wait, because something is about to happen. And then the word transformation, I love that. While we wait, because something is God's about to release something in your life or release you for an amazing greater purpose. But you're waiting. If you recognize you're waiting right now, I just want to speak this into your world. It's because God's needing to transform you to become who you need to be, so he can release you into who the world needs you to be. Does that make sense? Don't just wait and watch TVs, so to speak. Wait with a hunger for God to change you and transform you so that the wait would be over. I just feel that for somebody. Let God transform you. That's what he's doing. Your marriage, let him transform that marriage, because that shimmer of hope that you can see in your marriage is there and it's coming. That joy that you anticipate, it's coming, but God wants to transform you. I can go on forever. I could preach message part two right now. It's amazing, isn't it? That was a fantastic message. You know, you might be here today and that's exactly what's happening in your life. You feel like your whole life has been on wait. You look at your life and you're wondering sometimes where you're going, what's happening, what's the purpose? You know, why did God even put me on planet Earth? The Bible calls it hope deferred, makes a person sick, the Bible says. And you have hope for life at times, but it just keeps going on, and then you just go through these seasons where you just feel sick with life and you just give up. God wants to transform your life, and the best transformation he can do in you right now is by you saying yes to him and just allowing him in to do what only God can do. I just feel to say this, drugs won't do it, okay? Sex won't do it. Violence won't do it. There's things that only God can do, and he can do it in your life. So if you're here today and you can identify that as you, your life is on wait, but you know there's something more and you want to allow God to come into your world, transform who you are and make you the person he's always destined you to be, I'm just going to ask, church, could we all close our eyes? I'm not going to ask anything weird of you or call you out the front or anything like that. But I am going to pray in just a moment. I want to know who I'm about to pray with. So if you don't know Jesus, but today you want to make that choice that transformational choice to allow him into your life and give your heart to him. Can I just ask you, while every eye is closed, can you just boldly lift your hand right now just so I can see who I'm about to pray with? It's going to look around a couple of times. Just nice and boldly lift your hand. Thank you, Jesus. I see your hand over there. God bless you. Yeah. Is there anyone else here this morning? Just want to look around one more time. Greatest decision of your life. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All right. This is what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray right now, and I just want you to own this as your first prayer. You literally made the best decision you could possibly make on planet Earth. That was it right there. And all we're doing right now is the Bible says we're saved through faith. So your faith, by lifting your hand, that's it. You're saved. You're now what we call a Christian. A new life is about to start for you. But I just want to say this prayer, and why don't you own it like your first prayer? Lord God, I thank you that today I acknowledge, I know, and I've stepped out in faith to acknowledge that I want to give you my heart. So that's what I've done. Jesus, would you come in? Would you transform me? Make me the person that you've always designed me to be. I've always known there's more. And today that reality has come true. There is more, and it's in you. So I've given you my heart today, and I just pray that you'd pour out your love, that you'd pour out your joy, that you'd pour out your peace. And I ask that you would break these addictions in my life today supernaturally. I can't do it. So I pray, God, would you grace me by breaking the power of these things over my life and set me free. I am a new creation. I'm born again right now. And I declare that I am a son of God. I am a Christian in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Amen. Let's put our hands together one more time.